All right. Tasmai to him. Namaha. Obeisances. Braja Janahai. With the people of Braja. Saha. Together. Chakre. He made. Atmana. By himself. Atmane. To himself. Aho. Ah. Pashyata. Just see. Shailaha. Heal. Asau. This. Rupi. Manifest in person. Naha. Upon us. Anugraham. Mercy. Vyadat. Has bestowed. Translation. Together with the people of Braja, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhana Hill, thus in effect offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. So you can repeat. Together with the people of Braja, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhana Hill, thus in effect offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. So purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is clear from this verse that Lord Krishna had expanded himself and was appearing in his normal form among the festival goers of Vrindavan while simultaneously manifesting himself as the great form of Govardhana Hill. Thus, in his form as a child, Krishna led the residents of Vrindavan in bowing down to his new incarnation as Govardhana Hill. And to all, he pointed out the great mercy bestowed by this divine form of Govardhana. Lord Krishna's amazing transcendental activities were certainly in keeping with the festive atmosphere. So just small commentaries by the Acharyas. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur states, Krishna then paid obeisances to the hill, who was himself, along with the inhabitants of Braja. Then he made a statement in 1.5 verses, see how this hill has been merciful to us. He is taking any form he wishes, such as snakes will kill those who disrespect this sacrifice. Therefore, we should offer respects to him. And Jiva Goswami states, he understood from the previous verse offered respects with the people of Braja. Krishna had special devotion to Govardhana, and the people of Braja are placed in a secondary role. He offered respects to that form, Atma himself, Atma. Then many people spoke. This mountain, becoming visible to us in this form, Rupi, has shown mercy to us. So again, the verse. Tasmai namo vraja janai sahachakra natmane. Oho pashita shailo sau rupi no nugraham vyatat. So omagana timiranda shaganjana shalakaya chakshura meditam yena tasmai chi gurave namaha. So before speaking a little bit about this verse, I'd like to read from two works by the Acharyas. One is the Ananda Vrindavan Champu about the same pastime, and the other one is the Gopal Champu. And Ananda Vrindavan Champu was written by Kavi Karnapur, and Gopal Champu was Sanatan Goswami's work. Jiva Goswami's work. So they go into greater depth in describing this particular pastime. So let us read. First, the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Srihari smiled happily upon seeing the amazing Anakut rivaling the peak of Mount Sumeru. Suddenly, the playful, fun-loving, indomitable Krishna assumed a huge, unprecedented form and stood on top of Govardhan Hill. He did this to anger Indra and instill faith in the coward men. Observing this powerful form glowing like a thousand suns, Krishna, who remained among the coward men in his original human-like form, cast a gentle glance upon everyone and said, "Hung ho!" Look, look. By using all the paraphernalia to exclusively worship Govardhan Hill with pure love, you've received his favor. Govardhan, the best of all mountains, has now manifested before you as a brilliantly effulgent person. Please look closely. The huge mouth of this expanded form of Giriraj resembles a deep cave. Though his mouth is massive, his face looks as beautiful as the full moon. Usually trees serve as his arms, but now he has two beautiful arms adorned with attractive jeweled armlets. Usually hard rocks cover his body, but now he has assumed a tender, sweet form. Look how that beautiful body walks over the other non-moving form. In other words, Govardhan, as a big form, is walking over Govardhan, not just sitting there and assuming the taking the prasadam or the boga. Moreover, this non-moving form is sitting like a seat made of costly emeralds, but it appears like a huge chest of the moving one. Glittering like a row of rubies, his teeth look like the crown of the non-moving form. The saffron hue of the minerals on the non-moving form gives an attractive hue to the lips of the moving one. In comparison, these two forms of Govardhan manifest the same elegance. Govardhan is reciprocating with your overflowing love and devotion. He is acting like a hungry person, extending his arms bedecked with jeweled bangles. Look, just see how this hill has appeared in person to fulfill your desires. Now offer respects to him. Both people and the people of Vrindavan bowed down to this personified form of Govardhan Hill. In effect, Krishna actually offered obeisances to himself. When the coward men, their wives, and the leading men of Vrindavan saw that form shining like the sun, they raised their folded hands above their heads and said, "Namo, namo, namo," that's offering obeisances. Being overwhelmed in affection, they danced around ecstatically. By joyfully worshipping Govardhan Hill, the Brajavasis realized that Govardhan is a person. And now from the Gopal Champu, it's a little bit more elaborate, but it's into much more detail. This, of course, is by Jiva Goswami. When all the mountains of food were being offered, a huge form of Krishna appeared. The cause of people seeing Krishna as small in comparison to this form was their limited intelligence. Poets describe, of course, that limited intelligence is yogamaya. It's not that they were less intelligent. Is that Yogamaya had covered them, so they actually saw Krishna as small, whereas the hill is big. So poets describe the huge expanding form joined to the rocky mountain beneath. Is this a golden black effulgence? Is it a cloud with lightning? Or is it a mountain shining with minerals? Or is Krishna appearing in an expanded form? This is a little bug. This huge form surpasses a mountain of lamp black. Its clothing surpasses the evening cloud. Its ornaments surpass the effulgence of the sun. Its crown is like a thousand strong branches laden with the best flowers. This lord of the mountain causes astonishment to my eyes. Then, the sweet form called Krishna, expert at defeating the cleverness of Brahma, inquired with humility, "O Lord, who are you?" Then Krishna's asking himself, "Who are you?" Rumbling like thunder to make clouds wander, with meaning to make clouds stop moving, Govardhan spoke, "O members of an unprecedented festival, I am the mountain." Hearing this, Krishna, the enemy of the demons and friend of Sridham and others, spread his arms and stopped the cowards who were making ever-increasing, irrepressible commotion. In other words, they were just like talking with each other, like, what is this? What's happening here? Just stop. Ready? He went like that. In a loud voice, he spoke to all the people. This divine being is worthy of our respect since it has produced direct faith by accepting to manifest this huge expanded form out of his eagerness and compassion. Having said this with a sweet smile, Krishna, along with Balaram, offered respect on the ground. All others with astonished hearts offered respects in the same way. Govardhan, increasing everyone's joy, again spoke to the coward standing with folded hands. The devatas see themselves as different from you. I do not see myself as different from you. Now look, I will eat what is given to me in full view. After saying this, Govardhan ate 10 million adhikas of cooked rice and vegetable preparations. It's called the ankut. On each peak, he ate a mouthful. Then drawing all the water from lakes, ponds, and rivers, he depleted them all. When he stretched out his hand to take food in front of him, he immediately all the food came to him from all sides, just as sparrows come flying on seen grains. In other words, he reached out for the food, and if the food was like beyond his grasp, the food would actually fly into his hands. It's pretty amazing stuff. Putting the vegetables in the middle, he devoured the piles of rice with his right hand and mocked Indra by wiggling the tip of the index finger of his left hand. That's actually an insult. You know, it's one thing, it's enough insult if you use your right hand to point to someone and wiggle your finger like that. It's a chastisement, insult. Actually, it's said that when you go to see the deities, you shouldn't really point out, oh, that's Krishna and that's Radharani. Because this is the finger of ego. Now, oftentimes, you know, we have our bead bag here. So we put our finger out, right, in the bead bag. So devotees sometimes say, well, that's a contaminated finger. That's not really a contaminated finger. It's the finger of ego. That's why we don't touch the beads with this particular finger. It's the finger of ego. It's not that somehow or other, you know, you've got a bad finger that needs to be cut off. So when you point to someone, it's actually insulting. Like, you, get here, right here, this minute. And when you point to someone with the left hand, which is considered to be the contaminated hand in Indian culture, why? Because it's used for certain things, you know, anything that's not clean, basically. I'm not going to get into the details. Then it's like doubly insulting, you know. So here's Krishna just wagging, you know, up there in the air. There's Indra watching the whole thing take place. He's going, you just see, you rascal. It's also to make Indra good and angry. Anyway, with the tip of the index finger of his left hand. So with his hands, he quickly consumed huge quantities of food. All directions became filled with his hands extending and retrieving. All directions. In other words, it's the women of Braj were able to see this. This was astonishing among many astonishing things, since no rice at all remained, though it was so abundant that it could not be counted. As Govardhan, king of mountains, continued to eat, more food was prepared in order to satisfy his appetite. The children expressed fear, the youthful laugh. The elderly were astonished, and qualified people showed devotion. Govardhan was fully satisfied with all them. Govardhan repeatedly gathered water from a great distance, washed his mouth and spit out the water, creating rain, which fell on his back and made the grasses sprout up. Pretty amazing. After washing his mouth, he took bamboo sticks to clean his teeth. Having shown this form to satisfy living beings, he then withdrew it. Making piles of betel nut, he began chewing it with pride. He showed a face as brilliant as the morning sun. When it came time for Aratri, Artik, they became bewildered. How can we perform arti to this huge form? Thinking in this way, their hearts fluttered. Slightly laughing, Krishna arranged another utensil as a lamp, which moved above and below with 1,000 flames. Wow. Seeing that mountain had become conscious and that it desired, searched, and took, the people placed their hands on their heads in astonishment and stood up. Giving blessing to all, the benefactor mountain then suddenly disappeared. Offering respects, the people stood up for a few moments, motionless like pictures. When they became fully conscious, Krishna spoke to the people assembled for the festival. Just see, this mountain has mercifully shown this huge form and eaten all the food. It seems that anyone who disrespects him will be punished since he has taken Indra's offering. He must be very powerful. So then again, Krishna refers to Indra's offering. So I thought that would be interesting for the devotees to hear about. Now we get into the philosophy, final 15 minutes of class. So it's quite amazing from a Western perspective or from a materialistic perspective where you have Krishna offering obeisances to himself. In other words, Krishna's in two places at once. And oftentimes in my evening class, I've mentioned that God can appear and does appear in an infinity of places simultaneously, doing different things. And sometimes, by the influence of Yoga Maya, he's not even aware of what he's doing in different places, or not even aware that he's the same person serving himself in the same place because of the influence of Yoga Maya to taste ras, or taste ras, to have a specific taste. And one particular pastime comes to mind, and there's other pastimes that I wrote down here, but one particular pastime comes to mind is the pastime from the Ramayana, where you have Lord Ram, you have Lakshman, you have Bart and Shatrughna, and basically they're not really aware that they're all the same person. Of course, they deliberately put themselves under the influence of Yoga and Maya. It's not that Yoga Maya is more powerful than God. Of course, some impersonalists state that there's only Brahman, and Brahman has fallen into illusion. And therefore, we can understand that that philosophy is imperfect because that philosophy posits illusion as more powerful than Brahman. So illusion must be God rather than Brahman. Anyway, that's one of the false impersonalistic philosophy. But in this particular case, it's not the Yoga Maya is more powerful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or illusion is more powerful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a fact that Krishna enlists the help of this Yoga Maya so he can forget his position or forget the position of his expansions so they can interact and enjoy. Because if you're God, without forgetting who you are or forgetting your ontological position, there's no question of enjoying. So let's go back to Ram and Lakshman, Bart and Shatrughna. So you have Ram, the eldest brother, and then you have Lakshman. And of course, this is the Chaturvyuha expansion, Vasudeva Sankarshan Prajuna and Nani Bruta. And then Lakshman is like the obedient servant of Ram, disagreeing sometimes with what Ram wants him to do, but still obediently following Ram. I mean, sometimes he was giving advice to Ram. Ram, we mentioned this the other day during the Ramayana, or Ram Nomi, that at one particular juncture, Ram wanted to destroy the whole universe, actually twice, as far as I can remember. Once is when Sita Devi was kidnapped, and we all know it's the Maya Sita, was kidnapped. Ram was saying, bring back Sita, else, and he's getting ready, pointing his arrow at the earth. You know, I'm going to destroy the whole universe. And Lakshman had to cool him down. And another time, when Sita Devi entered the earth, a similar interaction occurred. Because when Sita Devi entered the earth, after she had been insulted by Ram, this is an amazing pastime, because Ram, after Sita Devi had been living in the ashram of Valmiki Muni for such a long period of time, and she was completely chaste, and I told you the story how she was actually able to fly over a whole lake without getting wet, Ram said, "Well, I just want to hear from her mouth that she's chaste." And she said, "Enough is enough. I've insulted enough. Mother," referring to Mother Earth, "if I have never thought of anyone else other than Ram, please come and take me away from this horrible place." So the earth opens up, and the Mother Goddess, Mother Earth, like a big earthquake, literally opens up, and the Mother Goddess comes up and says, "Daughter, I'm going to take you away." And she jumps on her lap or whatever, and they disappear. And Ram pulls out his arrow and says, "That's it, bring back Sita, I'm going to destroy everything." And he gets to wait at that particular point too. So then you have Lakshman's relationship with him, you have Bharata's relationship with him. And Bharata, of course, is trying to convince Ram to come back. Like when Ram, we told this story the other day, but it's bears telling again. When Ram agreed with his father's order and Kaikeyi's order to go to the forest, then he enlisted the help of the whole army and cleared roads. I mean, it's described there was like a beautiful road all the way to where Lord Ram was. And he tried to dissuade Ram from his exile, and Bart was ready to take the position of Ram. And then, of course, Ram refused. Bart went back. He lived under the earth, not to actually be superior to Ram. He only ate a barley mixed with cow urine for the whole period of Ram's exile. You know, so he's so devoted to Ram. So the point I'm making is, here's God so devoted to himself. There's no difference. Advaita, Achyuta, Nadir, Anantarupa, Madhyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayovanam, Cha. There's one God. It's another, you know, we're polytheists. And he's so devoted to himself that he's worshiping and eating barley and cow urine. I mean, I'm not so surrendered to Krishna that you said you want to be Krishna conscious, you have to eat barley and cow urine for 14 years? Forget it. You know, kacha for me. Anyway, so can you imagine undergoing that austerity for the whole period of time? And then Shatrughna, he was primarily devoted to Bart. There were two teams. You know, Bart, Shatrughna, and Ram and Lakshman. And Lakshman actually at one point was going to kill Bart. Because when Bart came out to bring Ram back, and he was bringing the whole army, big road, everything like that, as I mentioned, Lakshman was thinking that he's come to kill Ram. And so Lakshman was just getting his bow and arrow ready. Let me kill this brother. So there was God getting ready to kill himself. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, you actually think about these various pastimes. And that's not the only one. You know, generally I refer to the Ramayana because I'm really in love with the Ramayana. But in so many instances, and then another instance is the churning of the milk ocean. In the churning of the milk ocean, you have several different incarnations or several different manifestations of Krishna. There's the Korma avatar, who's like acting as the, you know, as the place where the hill Mandara Mountain is put. And then you have another Vishnu who is on top, holding it so, you know, just so that it doesn't fall over. And then you have another Vishnu who is pulling with the demigods. And that Vishnu, of course, when Lakshmi came out, guess what? He got Lakshmi. So it's really interesting, the interactions that God has with each other, with himself. It is so cool. I mean, what other religion in the world do you find this particular, or spiritual path, do you find this particular understanding? And then we go to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and then you have God appearing in three different ways, at least three different ways. You have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. And some of the interactions between them are just, some of them are hilarious, and some of them are just unbelievable. Like when Advaitacharya wanted to be disrespected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was very upset that Lord Chaitanya was treating him in a respectable way, Advaitacharya starts preaching and teaching Yoga Vashishta, which is basically a type of Mayavada or personal philosophy. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda go there to chastise him. At least Lord Chaitanya goes there to chastise him. And Lord Chaitanya is beating him up. He pulls him to the ground, starts pummeling him. And Sita, that is the wife of Advaitacharya, is saying, "You're going to kill this old man." And then Advaitacharya starts dancing in ecstasy. "Finally, I've gotten what I wanted." And Lord Chaitanya feels embarrassed that he's done that to Advaitacharya. Amazing interactions between God and God. And then you have the interactions, which are humorous, between Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya, where and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, they go to Shantipur and they see Advaitacharya. And they go to Advaitacharya's house, and Advaitacharya is feeding them. And then Lord Chaitanya says, "This is too much for prasadam." And Lord Nityananda says, "This is not even a morsel." Lord Nityananda says, "It's not even a morsel." And then Advaitacharya calls him a reject Paramahamsa, you know, just be satisfied. And then Lord Nityananda says, "I'm not even filled half my belly." And then he throws the rice on the floor, some of it sticks to Advaitacharya, and he starts dancing in ecstasy. He said, "Now I've been basically contaminated by this, you know, avaduta." And it's all the same person. You know, this is what struck me about this pastime with Govardhan. It's just Krishna offering obeisances to himself. And Govardhan is also an expansion of his. And then, of course, you have the relationship between Lord Vishnu and Seshanag, where Lord Vishnu is lying on himself, isn't it? Seshanag, it's his serpent bed, and he's lying on himself, and he's being served. So, and in so many cases, let me try. Oh, then there's Krishna and Balaram. Yeah, forget about Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram, I mean, sometimes they have different opinions. Like when Krishna wanted Arjuna to marry Subhadra. And Balaram is sometimes called, the name for Balaram is Duryodhana Guru. Actually, one of our god brothers named Duryodhana Guru. And of course, everyone called him Duryodhana. Rather than Duryodhana Guru. Because Balaram is the martial arts guru of Duryodhana, so his name is Duryodhana Guru. Thank God I didn't get a name like that. I don't know how you deal with it. Duryodhana Swami. So anyway, so then you have Balaram planning to get Subhadra married to Duryodhana. And then Krishna is making an end run around himself. Krishna is aware of what Balaram's doing, but Balaram's not aware of what Krishna's doing. So Krishna says to Arjuna, you know, here, you should kidnap her. And Arjuna is dressed up as a sannyasi, coming into the house, you know, just like making the trick that he's a sannyasi. What kind of Kali Yuga sannyasi? He's not Kali Yuga, but this is what a Kali Yuga sannyasi is. And he's sitting down at the dinner table. Balaram is there. Krishna's there. Krishna knows exactly what's happening. Arjuna's making eyes at Subhadra. And Balaram is completely unaware. He's God. He's completely unaware that here's this guy in your house making eyes at your daughter, or your sister, sorry, at your sister. And he's thinking it's just a nice sannyasi. And then the next day, Krishna gives Arjuna his chariot. Because Arjuna had actually, he was sort of like in a vanaprastha mode. He didn't have his chariot at that particular point. The reason being that he had intruded on Draupadi and Yudhisthira. Get his weapons one time when the cows were kidnapped. I don't know if any of you know the story. Some of you may know the story. He intruded, and the deal was that he would have to go into exile for several years. So he was in exile. He didn't have a chariot. He didn't have any of the attributes that a king normally has. You know, he's dressed like a renunciate. Of course, he had a whole bunch of affairs on the way, and you know, or got married, not affairs. He got married on the way and had children, but to other people. But he was supposed to be celibate in relationship with Draupadi. So anyway, so Krishna gives Arjuna the chariot. And Subhadra is driving the chariot, you know, kidnapping Arjuna. That's romantic, isn't it? Where the lady kidnaps the man. Oh my God. So he kidnaps Arjuna. And Balaram is calling for the whole Yadu army. He says, come on, where's an insult? We got to capture him. And then he looks at Krishna and says, Krishna, why aren't you saying anything? And Krishna says, you know, if you like, I'd like to say a few words. And then Krishna says, actually, it's not an insult. You know, this is Kshatriya stuff. Don't you remember how I kidnapped Rukmini? And, you know, it's actually a blessing to have Arjuna in our family. And so you should welcome them back with great pomp and circumstance. And Balaram goes, oh, he did it to me again. And then even at the end, when Bhimsen has to kill Duryodhana by hitting him below the belt. Sorry about that. Then you have Krishna pacifying Balaram because Balaram is ready to kill Bhimsen for not following the proper rules. And Krishna has to preach to Balaram. He said, look at what Duryodhana did. He deserves it. You know, the attempted disrobing. And so you have these wonderful interactions. We have to end, actually. But these wonderful interactions, isn't it, between Krishna and himself in various forms. And so this Govardhan pastime is an example of one of those types of interactions. So all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Govardhan Leela Ki Jai.
Kandar ako di kamaniya iske sa soba.
Govinda,
Govinda, Radha Govindananda.
Evaro Karuna Kauro Vaishnava Gosai. Evaro Karuna Kauro Vaishnava Gosai. Matita Pavanna Toma Vene Koe Ho Jaharani kate gele papo dure ai Jaharani E mona doyala prabo keva kota Gangara para sahile paschate pava. Kachane pupetra koro eto maragaman. Haristane aparade Hare Hare Navam. Tomastane Aparade Nahi Pari Chakan. Tomarari Doi Sada Govinda Vishra Govinda Govinda Mora Vaishnava Pura Chichan me kori asha charane ratune narata me koro doya narabone Goro Vaishnava Gosai Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ore Ore. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Ore Ore. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Udayu, Prabhupada. I am Rad, I'm looking on the Lord, I'm looking on the Lord. Jaya Radha, looking on the Radha, looking on the Radha. Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha, Radha. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Shri Radhe, Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paravidakacharya, Alsutena Siddhishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Huridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Garatha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopika Bhatta Shaim Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturanam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shrimati Talasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Prigananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, O Vaishnava Goswami, please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does that anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? One becomes purified after bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, but just the sight of you purifies the fallen souls. This is your great power. Holy name delivers one who has offended Lord Hari, but if one offends you, there is no means of deliverance. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda, and Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottama yours and be kind upon him. Narottama Das Thakur Ki Jai. Okay, Shikshashtika.